From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Akwan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, March 8th, 2024. I'm your host, Andy Klein Gunashish, and thank you for joining the conversation on today's show. The storytelling event Mudrooms closes out the season with the theme Stars Aligned. Nonprofit Rainforest Yoga is hosting a special workshop seminar. It's weaving asana training, somatic movement, and more. Poetry Out Loud 2024, the annual statewide competition, is happening this coming Monday night. And then in just a couple of weeks, Search is sponsoring the Roar Women's Conference, and we'll speak to them about that. Previews of all these wonderful events, plus Curious Juno, music, more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. In the weather, high wind warning is in effect until 7 p.m. tonight here in Juno, and then with east winds 25 to 35 miles an hour and gusts of up to 60 miles an hour, and then rain and snow showers predicted for the weekend and for the start of the week.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Hands and grass, ka eat with the shoe ye, where kashuk are ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikak, gunish cheese.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Clean AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the Tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these Tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Anywhere you go in Juno, there are mountains shooting up all around. Mount Juno and Mount Roberts loom over downtown. On Douglas, Mount Bradley, better known as Mount Jumbo, notoriously blocks South Douglas from getting much sun. And in the valley, there's Thunder Mountain, supposedly named for avalanches rumbling down its slopes. A listener asked KTOO what the mountain's original Tlingit names are. For this installment of Curious Juno, I spoke with Tlingit educators to find out. Like most of Juno, Kristen Rankin likes to hike. On some of those hikes, she started wondering what some of her favorite peaks were called before they were named after settlers.
I love to be up on all of the mountains around us, and I think it's really important to know those names, and I want to feel connected with the land and the history.
When she was thinking about that history, she couldn't help but see how names like Mount Juno have only been around for a short time.
Okay, so we have these names that have been in existence for places for, 150 years tops? And then there have been names that have, for places that these names have been around for thousands of years.
University of Alaska Southeast Tlingit language professor Hune Lance Twitchell says, from a Tlingit perspective, the newer names don't make much sense.
Imagine if your grandmother was 98 years old and her name was Nora, and I met her and I start calling her Sally, and then you say, hey, my grandma's name is actually Nora, and if my response is I've been calling her Sally for like a week now, and if that's my response to just keep calling her by a different name, then it sounds kind of silly. But from a colonial perspective, people say it's been called that for like 100 years, and so 100 years compared to 18,000 is not a very significant amount of time.
Twitchell says there are much older names for these mountains. Let's take a tour, starting with Mount Roberts.
Starting a little bit towards Thane, there's a place called Wushkinadeyi. And Wushkinadeyi is trails that are going up together.
Next, Mount Juno.
Coming over this way, you have Yada Utkashe. And Yada Utkashe, if you're standing kind of right outside these studios and looking up towards the mountains that are just kind of to the left of downtown, that's Yada Utkashe.
You might recognize Yada'at Kahle as the name of the high school, which makes sense since it faces the school. That name means beautifully adorned face. And that's just the face of Mount Juno. The top has a different name.
Then if you look up from the high school, there's a mountain with a bit of a rounded top, and that is Shatlach. And Shatlach is a moldy head.
And in the Mendenhall Valley is Thunder Mountain, or...
And Tlachsatunjin is the one in between Costco and the valley over there. And so Tlachsatunjin is hands at rest.
As for the peak on Douglas Island, Mount Bradley or Mount Jumbo?
If you were standing here downtown and you look across, then there's a mountain on the other side on the big island over there, and it's called Sayek.
Sayek means spirit helper. It's also a part of the name for the elementary school in Douglas.
As we sort of use these names more, we shouldn't be afraid of making mistakes. And so some people are going to say Sayek as opposed to Sayek, and that's not a big deal.
He says with gentle corrections, the right pronunciations will come with time. If you want to learn, there are classes you can take. Nila Toga Anna Clock is a local Tlingit language teacher. She's Koyukon Athabaskan and Iyak, so she learned the language as a visitor on Tlingit land.
Indigenous place names often describe the landscape or how to survive on it, how it can be useful to you, what to watch out for there. Whereas colonial place names are often named after a person of power or wealth in a faraway land because settlers wanted to honor that person if they funded their trip or whatever.
Clock says the Tlingit language community is full of resources that can help people living in Juno learn more about the land through the language. She sees it as a vital part of getting to know this place.
Having traditional stories to read and listen to, and then having the language community was a big part for me of understanding and feeling like I belong there, even though I'm not of Tlingit heritage, but I belonged there as a student.
One of Clock's mentors, Marie Olson, an Akwan elder, gave Clock some advice that informed how she thinks of her language journey and her role in the world around her.
And one of the things she told me was, you should always be working to learn to be an indigenous person of the world.
Twitchell says that for most of these place names, it's not a matter of changing a name to a Tlingit one, but changing it back to what it was called before settlers came.
So when we look at place name restoration, we're not looking at changing things so much as to saying it never should have changed in the first place. We were here, we belong, the land belongs to us, we belong to the land. And this relationship is not something that anyone had a right to remove.
Twitchell said language learners are scrambling to record as many place names as possible. It's a race against time because the number of elders who hold that knowledge dwindle each year. There are just 7 master speakers now. But he says there's room for new place names too.
It's a living language, and we can make new names as new things emerge or as we find places where we say we couldn't document those names in time, but we can make some names based on the knowledge that we have of this area.
He believes in a future where everyone living here won't think twice about saying they're going for a hike up Wushkinak Deye or that their kid goes to school at Kakhtuguwuhin. In Zontek Ahine, I'm Yvonne Crumery.
This is Juno Afternoon from your community-supported public media station, KTOO. I am Andy Klein, and joining me now is Skylar Bear. She's with Mudrooms, and Mudrooms is doing its last show of season 12 coming up next week. Skylar, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's talk first and foremost about this show that's coming up, and then we'll talk about all the other cool things that happens that's ancillary to Mudrooms. But tell me about the show theme and what's happening as far as the show happening next week.
Yeah, so it's next Tuesday, which is the second Tuesday of the month, March 12th at 7 p.m. We have 7 storytellers telling 7 true stories with a $7 donation at the door.
And you can always give more, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, you can. You always, right.
17, 27.
27, 37, why not, right?
27 is not really a multiple of 7, but anyway.
On the 7 theme, though, right?
Yes, right.
And the beneficiary is Friends of Zach Gordon Youth Center. So that's who the dollars will go to. In our February show, they were also the beneficiary. And it's at the Kunedi Northern Light United Church. And the theme is stars aligned or potentially misaligned, depending on the story.
Yes, yes. Stars aligned. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, so tell me, we can maybe just let's run through the people that are going to be on. I mean, Juno, we always know half of the people personally or speaking, it seems like. But
right.
Always good to hear the names of people that are willing to go out on the limb and tell a story.
Yeah. So John King, Lauren Hyde, Bex Gatewood, Sarah Boninson. I think I'm saying that right. John Clough. And today we got confirmation that Ray Romberg is going to be telling a story. And actually, I'm telling a story as
rounding
well.
Rounding it out for the seventh person. Very good.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's cool. So not to ruin anything, but how did you approach this theme for your story?
That's a good question. And I don't know how much I want to give away, too. So I have to think about this. I think when I think of the theme Stars Align, I think about things coming together without you thinking that it's going to happen. So I was like, well, where was there a time in my life where things just came together against all odds and it just felt like the stars aligned for a brief second to make all of this possible, to make this amazing, magical thing happen.
And then they scattered again quickly.
Right. Exactly. And then chaos just
ensued.
ensued.
Well, Skylar, you were telling me that you've actually kind of been working in the storytelling world or volunteering and producing and doing things like that for a number of years.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I would say so. Back in 2013, I told a story about actually going in a deep sea submersible called Alvin for this organization called the Story Collider.
I've heard of Alvin, haven't I?
Maybe.
Yeah, isn't it kind of a famous one?
Yes,
yeah,
it definitely
Alvin's
is.
A pretty famous submersible.
It's the one that found the Titanic.
Right. Okay, there we go.
Among many other cool things. It's had a couple of remodels, but I think it was 1960 is when it was first put together,
wow.
Its first iteration. But it's a very cute submarine with a white hull and a red cap. And
a Cousteau type theme red cap. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very cool.
And it's like an 8 or 9 foot diameter sphere that you're in the submarine, and you can fit up to 3 people in there, but with 8 or 9 feet to.
Is it a sphere like an all glass kind of?
No, it's titanium, which is much safer.
Right. Yeah, yes. But sort of little portholes to look out of. Okay.
Tiny little portholes with really, really thick glass.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got to go in one of those when I was 20 or 21. Oh my God, it's so long ago.
Well, that's a great subject for a story. I can see that being like, okay, years.
Yeah.
But how did you approach that as how do you approach a story? Like when you think about, okay, now how do I approach that as something that is a story? Like how do you describe how to tell a story? In other words, I guess.
So I should say too, I didn't mention this, but I became a producer for the Story Collider after that. So I have like about 10 years of experience of helping coaching people and how to approach building a story. A lot of the time we tend to talk about starting in the middle. So was there an event that happened? And was it meaningful to you? Because you're the main character of your story. And if you can explain, you know, the event and why it's important, like the stakes, that's a really great starting point. And then usually you can figure out from the middle where your beginning and end should be. Also, the length of time that you're given also dictates that a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, why it's important to you and what exactly happened and why that was a turning point for you, I think is the best place to start. And we do a lot of that kind of brainstorming work in the workshops that we offer at Mudrooms as well.
It's interesting because I think everyone knows someone who's a great storyteller, and then everyone knows someone who isn't. They get lost, or they forget the point.
Well, because it's like, why is this important, right? Like, why are we listening to this? And that's usually when you feel lost in a story. I feel like you know, it becomes boring or you're not sure what's going on because you don't know why this part's important anymore. Or like, you know, and some stories, some subjects, it's like really natural, like life or death situations. You know, obviously it's clear what the stakes are, but
or something with a natural timeline or something like that. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But, and so sometimes really important things do happen to us, but we, and it might be obvious to us that we don't think we need to explain, but actually we do need to give our audience a little bit of a heads up on why it's important. And then usually people are along for a ride after that. So.
Well, what an inspiring way to think about mudrooms really is this idea of like, how do you really construct a story? Mm-hmm. You've got some fun thing to tell, or you've got some little nugget of some, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing, but how do you make a 7-minute story out of that by really almost what you're saying is you almost deconstruct it a little bit in order to then build it back into something that fills out as a story that will capture people's attention, take them on a little bit of a journey, those kinds of things.
Do a little self-reflection while you're there.
Right.
I kind of think of storytelling as a form of therapy, honestly, because you're like, oh, why am I telling this? What was important? You know, why is this important to share today? Why do I want to be up here? And I think it really can help people process things. And also, storytelling audiences are the best audiences out there. They are there to be along for the ride with you. They're not like, you know, a comedy club where everyone's like, is this person really funny? They're there to support you. And I think that's one of the best things about doing community shows like Mudrooms.
Well, that's a great way of thinking about it. You're going, people watching are just going in there with a different mindset. You're exactly right. Comedy show type, you know, it almost seems like a combat environment, you know, for a stand-up comic to go up, right? But for mudrooms or storytelling events like this, people are there to really just glean what they can out of the stories and they're along for the ride. Well, that's awesome to hear some of that background. Let's talk a little bit about mudrooms and kind of, you know, obviously, because of the storytelling, because it's a great cultural event, as far as hearing stories from people, it adds that to the community. But there's this other level of adding to the community that Mudrooms does, which is that they select a nonprofit partner to be a beneficiary. So as you mentioned, Zach Gordon has been the beneficiary for the last couple of ones. But for next season, you guys are looking to sort of get a new group of nonprofits that might be beneficiaries.
Yes, we are looking for a community, Juno-based community beneficiaries for next season. And you can go to our website, mudrooms.org, to apply. And the deadline is March 31st. And then we'll make decisions after that. And I think we've had 3 or 4 beneficiaries this season, including the Montessori School, Cancer Connection, and I feel like there's one I'm missing, but I know that we raise money for them this season, and so there's opportunity for multiple beneficiaries throughout the season.
All right, well, it's Mudrooms. It's happening Tuesday, March 12th, 7 p.m. over at Northern Lights United Church. Again, it's 7 storytellers with 7-minute stories telling stories on the theme of stars aligned or misaligned. And it's a $7 suggested donation, but of course you can bump that up if you want. And it's all happening, as I said, on Tuesday. It's the last one of the season, so it's the last time you'll be able to catch Mudrooms for a few months. And then they're looking to gear up for next season by taking on new nonprofit beneficiaries. And again, juno.mudrooms@gmail.com is a place you can go to find out more information there. Also, it mentions here that you can go to the Juno Mudrooms on Facebook or Instagram, and you can connect with Mudrooms as well there.
Yeah, and we are looking for theme suggestions for next season, so for the 2024-2025 season. And so you can email us or go to Instagram or Facebook or the website and give us some suggestions.
Cool. So much going on with Mudrooms. You also were saying earlier that maybe some workshops are in the works for next season, that kind of thing.
Yes. I taught some workshops this season with Kristen Rankin, another board member, and we're planning to do more workshops next season. I think they're really fun and can be really great at preparing storytellers for the shows or just to work on a story you might tell for something else.
Yeah, so. Right. Sounds great. Well, Skylar, thanks so much for coming in and telling us all about it. It's Mudrooms. It's happening next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Go check it out. Amazing storytelling by folks that you know here in Juneau. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Skylar, thanks so much. Appreciate it. I startled you there at the very end. Sorry.
It's okay.
All right.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I'm walking my dog at the edge of town, and as I pass a house at the edge of the forest, I see a flock of songbirds scattering from a feeder hanging in a tree. I watch as a small raptor with broad wings and a long tail circles around and perches nearby, watching intently. It's a sharp-shinned hawk. I suspect that was a trial pass to see how the birds would react. I wait and watch as the hungry juncos and chickadees regroup at the feeder, and sure enough, a minute later, the hawk swoops in again, this time nailing one of the songbirds. This is quite the bird feeder these folks have. Sharp-shinned hawks are bird specialists. Like Alaska's other common forest hunting raptor, the goshawk, they're in a group of raptors known as accipiters. Accipiter is a Latin verb that means to grasp, appropriate for these hunters with wicked sharp talons. There are almost 50 species in the accipiter genus worldwide, and most fall into two groups, the larger goshawks and the smaller sparrowhawks. Like many hawk species, females are much larger than males, and male sharp-shinned hawks are the smallest hawks in North America. Sharp-shinned hawks in interior Alaska tend to migrate south for the winter, but some overwinter in the forests of southeast Alaska. Sounds wild? I'm Riley Woodford.
And welcome back. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K here at KTOO. I'm your host, Andy Klein, for today. And Rainforest Yoga has joined me in the studio. Thanks so much to you for coming in. Pam Garcia is here and Mary Capobianco is here. I got it right that time. I kind of managed to get through that. And joining us as well on Zoom is Juna Devereaux, who's going to be coming into town and teaching some workshops that are coming up. And that's why we're gathered here in the studio to talk about this. So, Juna, thank you so much for joining us via Zoom. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great. Great to hear you. We hear you loud and clear as well. So let's, Pam, maybe I'll throw it to you just to kind of start us off as an intro. What's happening? It's called the Spirit Rock Meditation Center. Is that what Juno is the place where Juno teaches, but she's coming into town and is going to be doing some trainings.
Yeah, well, Rainforest Yoga is super excited to have Juna back. She's been here before, and she has a strong following in Juno. People love to learn from Juno. She's an awesome yoga teacher, and so we're really lucky to have her back. And we'll let Juna speak to the workshops that she'll be giving. We're going to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're mostly full. We only have two openings.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, we only have two openings, but we still want to share with the community what we're doing.
Yeah, well, there's two more openings left to go. So if you're motivated to do this and learn from a nationally recognized teacher, now's a chance to do that. And Juna, I will throw it to you. What are some of the plans you have for this weekend?
Yeah, thank you. And I look forward to coming back to Juno. It's been a couple of years, so I look forward to seeing everyone. And this weekend at Rainforest Yoga, I'll offer a series of workshops. The series is called Awakening the Subtle Body. And on Friday evening, we'll be working with the pelvis, the hip joints, the legs. And Saturday morning, we'll work with work with the spine and some of the energetics along the spine, as well as the biomechanics. And then on Saturday afternoon, we'll work with the deep belly. And Sunday morning, we'll be working with the respiratory diaphragm, the heart, and the lungs. And each of the sessions will include a little bit of explanation about really this more ancient understanding of the body, which is a yogic understanding of the body as the flow of the life force. And that'll be combined with really dynamic asana, biomechanics, meditation, and breath work. So each session will include all of those things.
Yeah, it's so interesting when just to hear you describe the different sections that you're going to go through. part, first of all, when I hear that, I go, oh, that part of me is aching right now. Okay. So, you know, I need to get back into the yoga practice. Absolutely. But it is so fascinating to think about how you can, in a certain way, sort of break apart the body, but then the entirety of it is really to think about the body as a whole.
Yes. I love that you brought that in. Because one of the ways that it's useful in practice, just like anything in life, is to focus on a particular area of the body or a particular type of posture, and then to bring that into the whole understanding of the body. So ultimately, by focusing or bringing awareness, for instance, on the hip joints or the pelvis, we understand more about the biomechanics and the energetics of the whole body.
Yeah, great. Well, turning it back to you, Mary, I'll just ask you, what are some of the things that you have learned before from working with Juna and that you're hoping to kind of get back into when she is here this weekend?
Oh, my. There's probably so much more than I can say. She was here the last time. Virtually, it was a live stream. This was during COVID. And what spoke to me, I think everybody takes something a little different from it, depending on whatever. But what I really appreciated was not just the movements, the asanas and the breathing, but her depth of knowledge about yoga and the history of it and sort of what it meant. And so it made it not just going through doing the movements or doing the breathing, but doing the movements, the breathing, and then having that history. So I'm kind of looking forward to all of them. I look at pelvis and I go, oh gosh, yeah. Or spine. Yeah,
oh,
I need
spine.
You know, yeah, deep belly, the lungs, the diaphragm, all of those. So I'm really looking forward to learning more. I mean, I've done yoga for a number of years, but learning more about the background, the history, you know, the reasoning and all of that. So I think that will be,
yeah.
She's a fantastic teacher. So.
Yeah. What are you know, Pam, when you, and not to put you on the spot, Juna, and embarrass you, but when we talk about why Juna is a fantastic teacher, what are sort of the elements that you think of when you think about why you really get so much out of how she teaches?
This will be my first time. Yeah.
So okay.
Doing a Juna workshop. And I just keep hearing great things about her. But just looking at her picture, she just has a great smile.
Well, I'm looking at her here on Zoom. She has a great smile.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so sometimes just the energy of someone who's positive and caring, that really can be quite encouraging when you have a teacher who has that energy.
Well, it's inspirational to see how people use this practice in their own lives and improve their own health and improve their own well-being. And that's certainly something that I can relate to as someone who's dabbled in taking a few yoga classes. But Juna, what are some of the things that you're also hoping that people take away, not just the very specific physical part of it that you spoke about, but other elements?
Yeah, I think one of the aspects of my teaching that I really enjoy and that's really alive for me is the meditation. And so how when we train the mind to be present, when we train with awareness of the body or embodied awareness, how that actually not only enriches a movement practice, like an asana, yoga asana practice, but it enriches every aspect of our life. We're more in touch with just the beauty that's available in every moment and in every relationship. And so by bringing meditation and some of the deeper yoga teachings, as Mary mentioned, I really hope that can infuse people's practice, their yoga practice, but also their life off of the mat.
Great. Well, this is happening March 15th through the 17th. Once again, it's Juna Devereaux, a nationally recognized and known yoga instructor. Anything else that you want to make sure that we cover while we're talking about this today, Pam? Throw it to you. Everything?
Just that we only have two spots open for this Sunday, 9:30 to 12 o'clock spot. And you can register at rainforestyoga.org. And so get going if you want to go, because, you know, we have people on the waiting list, and that, those are the only two spots open. So I think it'd be great to fill it. And then Juna can speak a little bit about, she's also doing a teacher workshop afterwards.
Yeah, great. Juna, throw it to you. What's happening there?
Yeah, thank you. So on Sunday afternoon, I'll be teaching an intensive for teachers and advanced practitioners, and that'll be at Akbe Yoga. And the title of that is The Art of Props and Sequencing. So this is really an opportunity for people who teach, but also people who want to advance their practice, to understand how they can use yoga props like blocks or straps or chairs to really enrich, not only to make the practice more accessible, but to expand the options, the dimensions of their practice. And also within that, what the value of sequencing. So how we can build to different postures, both to make those postures accessible, but also to deepen our understanding of movement in general and of the asanas in general.
Boy, so I've taken advantage of those props before, you know, blocks and things like that. You know, you get, you know, it's funny. I come from a more traditional, like, you know, competitive sports. I'm not good at sports, but I'm competitive, you know, in my mind. And so, you know, you go into a yoga practice and you want to do that stretch the same way. And, you know, it really takes a lot to break out of that and to recognize and listen to your own body, as they say, and all those things. Right. And I think that using props, it really helped me so much get to that place of feeling a lot of benefit to what I was doing and feeling really great about what I was doing and having a great time with it, but not over pushing myself or, you know, getting to a place where you can hurt yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, I mean, I use props in every practice that I do because they expand the possibility. If you have something to support your body or to open your body in a particular way that you can't just do without that prop, it expands the dimensions of the practice in a really interesting and dynamic way.
Well, it's so interesting just to talk to you briefly about sort of the infinite possibilities with yoga and how beneficial it is for mind and body, all of it. And it's great that you're coming to Juno. So thank you for making the trip and coming to Juno. That's Juna Devereaux, and she's a yoga instructor who teaches at Spirit Rock Meditation Center. But she'll be here in Juno March 15th through the 17th, and she'll be teaching Awakening the Subtle Body is what the kind of theme of the weekend is going to be. So that's so great to hear about. Anything else to add, Juna?
I just look forward to being there and seeing all of you.
Great.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Pam and Mary, thanks so much for coming
thank
in and talking
much.
To us about it. And have a great weekend of wonderful yoga. It's going to be terrific.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
See you there. Bye, everyone.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon, Studio 2K here at KTOO. I'm your host, Andy Klein, and coming in next, Kachung is here. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
So good to see you. And Kachung is here to talk about Poetry Out Loud. The statewide competition is coming up.
It's coming up. Yeah, it is. The statewide competition is coming up on Monday at 5 o'clock. And we have eight finalists from around the state that will be coming in. So we're really excited to be hosting them. I think they're starting to come in. They're just slowly coming in. Today is the first. Yeah. Then they'll be coming in tomorrow. And then Sunday is full on, working with them. And they'll be working with mentors. And
do you know all the different areas of the state they're coming from?
I do.
Anchorage is always somewhat represented, right?
Of course. Yeah. So, we have West Anchorage, West High School. Eagle River High School is being represented. So Mona Coca from West High School and Penelope Richards from Eagle River. We have Skagway with Mina Yee, Fairbanks with Julia Wang, Petersburg High School with Eleanor Kendall, Upstream Learning with Sila Summer, Homer High with Clark Milstead, and then Thunder Mountain with Lumi Furman.
Good to hear that Southeast representation. Well, I love Skagway, Petersburg, Juneau. Terrific. And this is the culmination of a lot of work and competition throughout the state, right?
Right, it is. And this one's a special one because this is the first in-person
For a long time here. Yeah.
For a while. Yeah. It's been actually in 2020. That was the last in-person thing that I actually did. I was a judge in 2020.
In
March. And then, we had nobody in the, we were already like thinking of being safe. So we just had the students there, their mentors and the cast and crew.
The before times.
Yeah.
That's what you refer to.
So this is our first in person. Yeah. We had a couple in person competitions. It was still a hybrid. So we had some regional submissions virtually. So it's a mix of.
But some of that's great, right? Because it allows access in some ways where there might not be or might be more difficult.
Exactly. And some of the communities that we're really hoping to really connect with more, they were able to connect with the POL in a way that they had never been able to before.
Yeah. So in person, where is it going to be held? Or is there a place that people can go?
Right downstairs.
Right here at K2.
Yeah, K2. Yeah. So at KTOO, the doors will open about 4:40 for the public. It is a small space, but we do have, we anticipate, folks coming in and supporting these amazing folks that will be reciting poetry. So it's a little different. You have poetry slams and things like that. This really is a recitation. There'll be reciting three poems, and really one of the things that we're hoping for them to have is like a real connection, like what are the meaning of the poems, and really giving that that feeling and that essence. And so there's all kinds of things that we have amazing judges that are coming in that will be helping out, and then coaches. We have Nami, Brett Dillingham, Trip Krause, and Don Reardon, who will be working with the students for about 2 days prior to the competition.
That's great. What a great group of people to be working with young people about interpretation.
Exactly.
And in these different ways.
Yeah, it's different. So it gives them so many, skills to really be successful in life, to be able to public speak. These studies show this. Students that do these things like this, those are really students that are really going to be striving and successful in school and really moving forward absolutely.
The thing that it makes me think, too, because it's a recital. Because it's them, they're selecting known works. They're selecting poetry that speaks to them in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
It also gets into like literary critique in a way. Almost you're getting into like you're figuring out what speaks to you. What is the poem that you can really interpret in
exactly.
a way that's unique?
Yeah, and then really how are you connecting with the poem? It's really awesome to see, like, one of the things I was delving into is like a lot of the resources that you get, cause this is a national program. This is a program mm-hmm. that's yep. supported, through the NEA, National Endowment in the Arts. So we definitely thank them. And
the winner goes to a national.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's going to be 50 finalists at the national competition. And Alaska always represents real well. So it's awesome. But it's awesome to see how these young people really start to really connect with poetry and really use their minds and like connecting with words and imagery. the way that they're able to recite these poems in a way that evokes feeling. You know, it's like music.
I'm a musician,
right. And that's, you know, when you really have that feeling that, you know, that you're able to make people move people, and that's what I love about this.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, it's Poetry Out Loud. It's happening March 11th. Sorry, right. At 5:00. It's a live broadcast, and it's happening here at the KTOO studios downstairs, which is, by the way, it's a great little facility, beautiful facility, and it's going to be incredibly well broadcast because it's set up for television broadcast. So it's going to be high quality broadcast, which is going to be really cool for the competitors and for people that want to view that as well. And it's the culmination of a statewide bunches and bunches and hundreds and hundreds and thousands, maybe even kids that have gone through this program. And now it's down to eight finalists. Yeah. And we're going to send the best of the best to the national competition.
And there's a couple opportunities. The cool thing about it is like we're really hosting them while they're here, right? They're going to have a chance to go visit the Capitol. So they're going to be introduced to the legislatures and the representatives. So, and have a chance to recite at Alaska Robotics. So there's opportunities to actually see them. So at 1:00, if you don't have a chance to see them at, you know, K2 Studios, they'll be over at Alaska Robotics, and they're going to do just an impromptu kind of reading there.
That's great.
And then Sea Alaska is hosting them as well. So they're going to host us through Sea Alaska. And so we have amazing opportunities for them to really just connect with our community and show them. And host them and show them how beautiful this community here is.
And and whoever goes to the Nationals, you're getting that spirit of Alaska even more imbued, more central to what you're bringing to the national competition. And after all, I mean, that's a leg up. Mm-hmm. That's a leg up. Oh, yeah. If you're coming from Alaska, come on. You got a leg up for the national competition. Well, Ka-Chung, so great to talk to you. And thanks for all the great information about Poetry Out Loud, the statewide competition. The live broadcast is here March 11th at 5 p.m. You can also go to Alaska Robotics at 1 p.m. on March 11th well.
That's right.
And you can see what these young people are reciting and all the amazing talent they bring to the table. Ka-Chung, thanks so much for telling us all about it.
Goodness geez.
All right. Coming up next, here's Savory Little Kitchen.
Step in to the savory moment. Imagine a notebook, one with crisp, cream-colored pages that whisper as you turn them. This notebook is small, no bigger than the palm of your hand, the size that a reporter or a novelist or a detective might use to jot down a quote, a plot twist, or a clue. Maybe this notebook is the kind you buy in the school supplies section of the grocery store with a shiny spiral binding and a red cardboard cover. It could be a leathery chocolate brown moleskin with an elastic band that snaps, holding its contents snugly inside. Does it have a tiny lock and key like a diary with a heart sharpied on the front? One thing is for certain. This notebook is meant to be hidden away in your kitchen. Slide your notebook between the pasta and canned tomatoes, or in the basket holding your heirloom beans, or inside the spice cabinet, its pages soaking up the scents of fenugreek and cinnamon. Whatever the location, this little notebook should be out of the way, but easy to find. Always within reach when your next culinary realization materializes. Canned whole tomatoes, more flavorful than diced. Kale flash sautéed with cumin and mustard seeds. Amazing! !! Make cake layers in advance and refrigerate. Easier to frost. Soak garden greens in 3 parts water, 1 part ice. Super crispy. More than a mere compendium of tips and tricks, this little notebook is a reportage, a memoir, evidence of a cooking life lived. Read entries from our little kitchen notebook at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon from your community-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. And joining me next, Sherry Patterson is here to talk all about the Search Roar Women's Conference that's coming up on the 22nd and 23rd. Sherry, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Great to have you here. And well, tell us about it. Roar, number one. People will go like, Roar? What's that all about? So tell me a little bit about the background of that name, the Roar Conference.
Okay. Roar is the acronyms for Reclaim, Own, and Renew. We want the women to come and just grab hold of things that may have been lost or they're struggling with or whatever, reclaim it and just run with it. Just run with it. Be renewed, refreshed, and yeah, just run with it.
Sort of. I mean, it sounds to me like power is the theme of this, right? Roar, power.
The whole thought of this was that women would come together and be refreshed, renewed, empowered, encouraged, inspired. And we've been doing this now since 2019, and it's been quite a success. And we just love bringing this to our community.
What are some of the issues that, you know, you feel and have seen that Alaskan women in particular deal with that maybe is different than struggles that women might have as a whole?
Well, I think women as a whole, we have, I mean, there's a list.
Yeah.
There's just a list. And actually, let me just share what, and I'll get back to that.
Sure.
Our theme this year is navigating wellness, wisdom, and wholeness through the generations. And we have three different panels. We're starting Friday night, the 22nd, with Gen Z. And those are our younger generation. And Christina Michelle is the facilitator, moderator for the conference.
Also,
and so
your
she's going to be.
We should just mention that. We'll just.
In whom I am most very proud of.
Very cool. Very
thanks
cool.
for mentioning that,
very
Andy.
Cool.
So she's going to come and lead the conversation with the young women, and they're just going to, you know, share their hearts and where they are. You know, what does wellness mean to you? What does health, where do you go for your health care? I mean, those kinds of things. You know, what kind of, what do you deal with in your relationships? And, you know, what are you thinking for the future? And who do you look up to in your generation?
It's interesting. I think that, you know, that just seems to me like the conversation is really open among Generation Z.
Yes.
You know, about those things, about mental well-being, about all those kinds of things.
Yes, yes. And she actually, we were talking to some of the panelists yesterday, and she just shared with them some of the unique attributes of the different generations. And she was just saying, you know, the boomers, you know, they run to the doctor. You know, the millennials, they're like skeptical. I don't know if I want to go. And I'm going to Google this, you know, and the young people is like, well, we'll see, you know. And so there's quite a contrast. But we believe the dialogue will lead us to a place where we can all come together and learn from each other, glean from each other. And I think it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time.
You know, it strikes me that while the conversation and the dialogue feels open about healthcare, there's the realities of paying, and there's realities of the cost of healthcare that, you know, people in my generation, we tend to have good insurance and those kinds of things.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And then as you're up and coming, you don't have those kinds
of
safety nets.
Yeah. And the kids are dealing with college and, you know, all these other,
expenses,
you know, expenses. And it's a totally different walk. And journey for them. And so, you have to take those things into consideration.
So that's first night. Mm-hmm. Or
that's first
track,
night. That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Let's talk about second track.
Okay. Second, we're going to come with the elders, the boomers.
Are we elders? Is that? Wait a minute. Okay.
On Saturday morning, we're going to come with where are my notes here? We're going to be introducing Gen X and the boomers. And we have Dr. Janelle Solaire from UAF. She's going to come and do a speech. And then we'll be talking to that panel of women about basically the same thing and what's happening in their generation. Who do they look up to? You know, where do we go from here? Those kinds of things. And then from there, we have Val Davidson. After that panel discussion, she's the president of ANTHC, and she's going to come and talk to us about ACEs and the generational effects of that. We're going to have lunch, and then we're going to get back to the last panel, and that's the millennials. And we have Ms. Yvette Bedola that's going to be the speaker for that group. And they're going to have that discussion afterwards. And then we're going to end it with a interview with Dr. Rosita Wuerl and her granddaughter, Miranda. And that's how we're going to end the conversation.
Cross-generational.
Yeah, cross-generational. Yeah. And right. It's going to be even one of our speakers. She called me and she said, I'm thinking about flying my mom and my daughter up. Would that be okay? I'm like, yes, please do it. Yeah. And then she called me back. She said, well, my mom, my daughter, and two of my sisters are coming. So that really delighted us. And if anybody wants to, if you haven't signed up yet, sign up at Eventbrite and bring your mom, bring your sister, bring your daughter, granddaughter. It's going to be really, really good.
So search.org/roar is a place to register, and that's search/
SEARHC.org/roar
is the place to register. The event fee is $79.
Yes.
And then it's really interesting that you're talking about all the influential women that are coming together from across Alaska, but also from other places too.
Yeah. It's and that's what we wanted. We didn't want to just call in Juno women. We wanted Alaska women to come and glean from this and share their experiences, because though we live in the same state, we go through different stuff. And and like I said, I know that we're all women and we have a lot of unique things, but there are some things that, just a little bit different lifestyle.
Yeah. And I see that women of all ages, kind of 14 and up is sort of the category of that you're looking for. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And moms with nursing babies are can come. And we just want the women to come and just be blessed. Just come and learn. And we don't do this often. And a matter of fact, we don't do it in Juneau at all. This is the only conference of this kind in the Juneau area. And I've been in Juneau 30 something years, and we've never done anything like this in the community.
So tell me a little bit about the inspiration behind why you felt why this needed to happen and come together.
You know what? I give all credit to my boss. I hope
Very
she doesn't
good.
Hear this.
Very good. That is smart. See, that's a smart person talking right there.
I went to her and I said, we had just talked about Martin Luther King. It was MLK. It was January. And this was in 2018. And we talked about him and his dream and da 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 da. And I was leaving her office and someone said, tell her about your dream. And so I did. And she listened. And here we are 6 years later.
And this was you kind of had this as a idea in your head.
Yeah. And it has been churning in my heart, my soul, my spirit for years. And when I shared that with her, she heard me. And so we care about our women and we want our women to flourish. And this was an avenue to do it. She recognized that. And she said, yes, let's do it.
Have the themes changed? The theme is navigating wellness, wisdom, and wholeness across generations. That's for this year.
Just for this year.
That has changed through the years?
It has. Yes. Every year we pick a different theme. Yes.
And tell me a little bit about this theme and why this was what was decided on this year, this idea of navigating wellness.
We were looking at different topics and somehow in one of the meetings, it just came up. What if we did, da da da? And I'm like, I didn't get it at first. And I'm like, But, after a while, I kept thinking. And by the next meeting, I'm like, okay, all right. I think this can work. And so we started gathering the women. And some were like, no, I can't do that. And, we just kept trying. And we've assembled, I think we all together, we have 23 women on board for speaking and for the panelists. And there are women in our, and I wish I had all of their names, but we have like Sarah Chambers and she's on the Gen, I think it's Gen Z.
Well, it sounds like you kind of tried to go like cross-disciplinary. You know, you tried to hit a lot of different areas, not
we just did
healthcare as we traditionally think of it, but other.
Yes, exactly. We have a pastor from Anchorage. We have a Alaska Native dancer from Anchorage. We have of course, the majority of the women are from the Juneau area, but we reached out and were able to bring in women from other parts of Alaska. It's going to be a unique combination to bring us a fantastic 2 days.
And when you say it was your dream, what is it that you're hoping that people get out of this by attending this conference? What is your in that dream scenario? What are you hoping someone who attends a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old person that comes and what are you hoping they take away?
Our hope is that I'm gonna start crying.
Oh, well, here we go. Yeah. Well, it is really central to you. It is something you've been thinking about
it
for
is.
A long time.
Our hope is that the women would come ready and willing to hear and to receive those things that they need. Of course, we're not going to take on everything that we hear, but those things that we need here. And let that roar begin from the inside. And so when that audible thing comes, it's truly real. So we want them to start bubbling and roaring from the inside and just take off from there.
And then are there also some practical things like tools, things like that you're hoping that people get or that some of the people that are speaking are talking about?
Yes, we have I think it's Val that's going to be talking about ACEs. There are some that are talking about difficult relationships, navigating through family illness. And there are a variety of things that we'll be talking about. And even with Christina shared with the panel yesterday that she's going to be asking questions about even about generational financial matters and, you know, who am I looking up to or who looked up to me? You know, what kind of example am I being? What am I giving to the next generation? What is somebody gleaning from me? What am I gleaning from my grandma?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, it's such a big topic and it's just 2 days of doing
it.
I know.
It's actually not even 2 days.
Right. Starts Friday
night,
March 22nd. It's 6:30 p.m.
Yes.
And then goes to 9. And then Saturday, it's 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's all happening at Centennial Hall.
Correct.
And again, you can register right now by going to search.org/roar, R-O-A-R. And the event fee is $79.
Yes,
can people get assistance with that if they need to with that event fee?
Tell them to contact us at roar, write to roar@search.org.
Okay.
And just say, I need a scholarship.
Yeah.
And we'll see what we can do to help. We'll feed you.
All right.
We're going to feed you Friday night, Saturday morning, and for lunch.
You got to lead with that.
Yeah.
Well, Sherry, thank you so much for coming in and telling us this fulfillment of a dream of yours.
Yes, it
that's,
is.
That's happening.
I'm forever grateful. Yes.
It's the 2024 Women's Roar Conference, and this theme this year is Navigating Wellness, Wisdom, and Wholeness Across Generations. It's happening March 22nd and 23rd. And if you're interested, you can find out more and you can sign up for it at search.org/ROAR. Sherry Patterson, thanks so much for coming
in. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Great to talk to you.
Yes.
Okay. That'll do it for Juneau Afternoon today, broadcast live here at KTOO.